Welcome to iHeartGeek.
And welcome to another episode of iHeartGeek, the special wrestling edition. Yay. I've been wanting to do this, a wrestling episode, especially with Chris for how long have you been on the show, Chris?
Since a year? October of last year, yes.
Yeah, so we've been trying to get a wrestling episode in. Now, and we couldn't do it with just us, so we had to bring in some big heavy hitters today. So with me, I'm Dub, and I'm here with Chris, and we are here with Michael DeDeese from the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast, which is one of the few wrestling podcasts I listen to. And before I give you a chance to talk, I want to say why I love this podcast. Every wrestling podcast I've listened to hate wrestling. It is all you do is you listen to 2 hours of them griping about how bad the show was and how much they wasted their time. And then I feel like I've wasted my time by listening to this show. Now, the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast does not do that. They come across with a huge positive experience. Mike, do you want to tell us about your show real quick before we get started on WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, I sure do. Thank you very much for the introduction. It's got a negative connotation to it, the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast, but that's not what it's about. It was to grip people in. You know, I'm Dirty Mike and my partner to Big Ugly, Eric Murphy. And, you know, it just started with two guys talking, two friends talking. We used to work together and we never griped or complained about the show. It's never, you know, wasting time with that negativity. We're always about what happened, how it happened, why it happened, what could have happened. Mm-hmm. And just talking about ultimately, like, we love the business, we love the product, we love the entertainment, and we love talking about it because it's something we connected on. Wonderful stuff. So I just mentioned it to you before we started. We've been doing this for 5 years now. We just decided to do. I went to WrestleMania in Dallas, 101,000 people. I was one of them. Lucky. And when we came back, we were like, we should. Yeah, it was an experience. Let me tell you, all pre-COVID. You know, we said, we've been talking about this stuff for a couple years at work, man. We should put this down and see if people listen to it. Yeah, why not? And we started with a little tiny Zoom recorder, and not the Zoom meetings that we got now, but that little tiny thing with AA battery. And I know just it well. Talking into it, leaning into it, say, hey, how's it doing? And you know, unbelievable. And we've got out on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. If you Google Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast, you find us in 10 or 20 different places. It's free, it's easy, and we always talk about it. It's just fun. We're not right, we're not wrong, we're just fans, and that's what we are. And you know what? That's a podcast is all about. And we get so many different points of view and opinions, and it's all just, we're not ever having a battle or an argument. It's all about a good time. So thank you for the introduction, and please follow, listen, like, subscribe. You know, we got a big episode. I think you'll mention it too, coming out pretty soon about this WrestleMania.
WrestleMania weekend, baby.
WrestleMania or WrestleRania, as Michael Cole called it, three hours after I called it. And I'm sure I was in Tampa.
But with Michael Cole, I'm sure it was a mistake that he did it, unfortunately.
A lot of that stuff was off the cuff and at the beginning of the show, which was just, it was real good. It was all organic. It was natural. I loved it.
So what we're doing today, this show is made for the novice fan that doesn't really watch the product much, but might catch a match
here. I'm out of here.
But
I'm just playing.
If this is your deal, what you're going to want to do is after our show, you're going to want to go and listen to the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast. They're going to go a lot more in depth for people that know what they're talking about. So this is your intro to WrestleMania weekend, for lack of a better term. First, we're going to be talking about the NXT takeovers. So that happened on Wednesday and Thursday. And then we are going to be talking about the big one, WrestleMania, that happened on Saturday and Sunday. So we're going to kind of go through these match at a time, and we're just going to kind of give some thoughts on it. Now, Chris, I know that you're an AEW fan and you're not really into the WWE product anymore. How did, at least the NXT, how did that stand in your mind against your AEW stuff?
So let me clarify something for our listeners. I've been a pro wrestling for 20 years this month. Mm. The first ever pro wrestling show I watched was WrestleMania 17, and it's because of that show I got hooked. And Mike will agree, probably you will too, WrestleMania 17 is probably the best WrestleMania of all time, hands down.
One of the best overall three. Cards from top to bottom. Absolutely.
I'm old, so though. I'm old.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with three. I love Hulk and Andre, Steamboat and Savage, and just the massive.
Yep.
Yeah, but sorry, Chris. Don't mean to cut you off, but go ahead, Chris.
No, it's okay. That was okay. So I've been to four WrestleManias myself. I've been to 24, 25, 28, and 29. So I've been a WWE fan for the majority of my pro wrestling fandom. But after WrestleMania, I want to say 31, 32, I kind of was getting bored of the WWE product. And then AEW came around and I'm like, okay, great. It's exciting again. But to answer your question, Dub, from the handful of matches I saw from the NXT card, I wish the WrestleMania, and we can talk about this when we get to WrestleMania, I wish the main roster had as much freedom as the NXT roster, because they are allowed to do so much in their matches. Like, I watched the Dunn versus Kushida match this
morning. Yeah, let's jump right into that one. That's what we're going to go to first. Yeah.
That match was fantastic. Pete Dunn, and Pete Dunn's been fantastic since he came over in WWE. And this is the first time I watched Kushida wrestle. And I could, if WWE, I know. It's because I haven't really followed WWE programming in like four or five years. But I was impressed. That's how they should wrestle all the time on the main roster. And it's just a shame that, you know, going into this blind, you know, I didn't really see a build up to this match. This was like the perfect match to like get the crowd into the show. So they did their job. And I thought they tore the house down.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's hit on this match for a second. It was Pete Dunne versus Kushida, who is a New Japan god. He's had some of the greatest matches in history if you go look him up. Unfortunately, we haven't really seen him do as well as we just saw him this week. This week was something really, really special. And you're right. There was no buildup to this at all. And it didn't need it. And that's why this match was so beautiful. It was like, bam. You know, and it's got the English style, which has a lot more of the, you know, the finger pulling type stuff. If you know what I'm talking about, that's never been my thing, but the way they executed in this match was absolutely beautiful. Mike, what was your thoughts on this match, or did you get to watch much of the NXT stuff?
I watched it all of it from beginning to end, and some of it even several times. I just, when it comes to WrestleMania week, that's pretty much all I do. Chris, I got to your point, four WrestleManias, keep it coming, keep the numbers rolling. 15 in Philadelphia, 24 Orlando. You were at that one too. I wish I would have gone to 25. That would have been awesome. In Houston, 28 in Miami, 29 in New York, 30 in New Orleans. That was the arena was beautiful inside, but terrible to get in and out of the Silver Dome or the Superdome. I'm sorry, Hulk Hogan.
You pulled a Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. I sure did.
He pulled a few and, of his own this week. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. 31 in San Francisco, 32 in Dallas, 35 in New York, and just on a whim, it came out to be 37 in Tampa, and that was number 9 for me. And it never gets old, and there's always something different. It's as far as this match leading off, this basically not only led off the first night of Stand and Deliver NXT, but it led off WrestleMania week. I mean, you got to have a strong showing because you want to watch the rest of the show that night. You want to watch the show the next night, and you want to watch everything through the end of the week. So you got to bookend it, strong finish, strong start, strong finish. Yeah. And this match, just not to go into too much detail, beautiful, the English NXT UK style with the New Japan style and a little bit of WWE seasoning. And I tell you, Kushida has just enough of that Back to the Future Marty McFly character to hook me in. His move is called, one of his moves called the Flex Capacitor. And just the match from beginning to end, you don't want to look away. There's no bathroom break. It's just, it flows. And when it's over, you want more. And it does not necessarily matter who wins or loses. Nobody loses heat. Nobody, the fans gain something. So it was a beautiful match to start.
They both looked incredibly strong coming out of it. There was no loss of heat at all. And I do want to say night one of NXT was the best night of WrestleMania weekend I have seen in probably 10 years. I thought this day was that strong. And, yeah. And the beauty part was I wasn't expecting anything out of night one. So when,
yeah, all the hype seemed to be around the matches for night two.
Yeah.
At least all the major hype anyway, but yeah. That it just came out to, it came out to greater expectations. Wonderful.
And next up we have the gauntlet match, which let's be honest, was a little bit confusing how they did it, but it worked for me. Again, this was a bunch of, you know, the C-list players, and they all looked like A-plus players through this entire experience. The people were, let's see, who was it? Swerve Scott, who I think has been a wasted talent, and he looks great right now. I wasn't happy with his heel turn, but I'm good with it now. It was good. Leon Ruff, who shouldn't be outside of the Cruiserweight division. I love the guy, but it's awesome, but I like to see him doing those Cruiserweight matches. We had Bronson Reed, who looks like a beast now. Just absolute monster. Cameron Grimes, who is a huge charismatic presence, and I'm absolutely loving him. Dexter Lumis, I'll leave that one. And LA Knight, who is actually a really, really fun character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the future of NXT, honestly. I really do. So what were your guys' thoughts on this match?
Go ahead, Chris.
So let me jump in and say this is one of the matches I did not see. And so I will just ask you this question. Is the match worth watching?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'll watch it then.
And by every right, it shouldn't have been. But these guys all performed like madmen. I was blown away by this match. Everybody gave it 100%. And they all were able to put their characters in, especially LA Knight, who I know he's I forgot what his name is in the indies, but he was a
Eli Drake.
Thank you. Huge name. I've seen him wrestle before. I'm surprised he didn't go to AEW, honestly. But I think that if they groom him enough in NXT, I think we got a winner.
Mike, I agree.
What do you think about this one, bud?
Cap you off with the LA Knight thing. Eli Drake, I've loved him from the very beginning. The perfect match of charisma, Mike skills, and in the ring, he can back it up.
Yeah.
You know, and I think with all of the hype he came into NXT with, the fact that they're having him lose a couple of times to kind of get that chip on his shoulder, it's going to make that character even stronger. And actually, I think that's going to be like the next anti-hero. If NXT was in front of live fans right now, LA Knight would be most over with everybody, no matter winning or losing.
Yeah.
The match itself, very, I think you mentioned in the beginning, very hard to put together. It's six guys, six different styles, and you got to put it all together and you got to tell a story, one story from beginning to end. And then they ended up telling two or three little stories in the middle, which is great.
Yeah.
High impact, fast paced. What you can hope for out of the match behind the scenes is, you know, nobody gets hurt. And everybody has a good time, but you know, also you want to deliver on, you know, the story you're trying to tell. Ultimately, we got to Bronson Reed winning. I'm okay with that. I think there's a couple of guys that could have won that match and could have had a actually all of them could have probably had
every
a stellar
single one of them
Johnny Gargano match on the next night. Yeah. But two or three guys that they were pushing, and then Bronson Reed ended up getting the Duke, which is okay. It was surprising. It was different. Yeah. The finish and the ending, but nothing wrong with it. And good compliments of high spots as well as fast paced. In a six person gauntlet match, you can't really slow down to have a rest hold. But you got to give it to all those guys. It's a very hard match to put together. And I did enjoy it from beginning to end.
And, you know, and I, you know, going back to Swerve Scott, who is, you know, I watched him in CZW and I've watched him all over the place. That dude is an insane worker. In Lucha Underground, he was insane. I love this guy. I want to see him push to the moon. Unfortunately, it hasn't worked out for him very well, but hopefully this heel character is going to work for him. And I was unhappy with the heel character when I first saw it. I'm starting to get it now because he's working better in that role, I'd want to say. Okay, next up, we have the UK Championship, which is Ciampa versus Walter. These men can work. These men are beasts. These men are gods among wrestlers. Again, I don't ever want to see either of them go to the main roster ever, because they will ruin them. Unfortunately, yes. Ciampa is kind of in a bad spot because he's done everything now at this point in NXT. So he needs to, but I don't, he doesn't want to move on. So it's tough. And Walter, I don't think Walter would not work, would work well for about 6 months in the, on the main roster.
Walter worked for about 6 minutes on the main roster. Chris, I'm going to get you real sick. The Survivor Series a couple years ago when Walter was on the NXT Survivor Series team and was the first one that got jobbed out of the match. I was like, no,
nope, that's
no,
it. Yep.
No. But you're right. And I think he's NXT UK for life. I think, you know, that's where he should stay. Chris, go ahead.
No worries. Like, without, I, and again, shame on me for not being able to watch all 7,000 hours of wrestling this week.
It's a lot of content, yeah.
Yeah. Without even watching the match, Tommaso Ciampa and Walter, you know it's going to be a great match. And, you know, without watching the match, you can't put the UK title on someone who's not from the UK. If you want to have an entertainment, like,
exactly,
I see in the notes that Dub sent me, match of the year contender. So I'm gonna watch this one too. I'm just gonna watch night one. That's what you told me to do, Dub. I'll follow your directions for once, and I'll go back and watch it. But like, back to what you were saying before, Dub. That's my fear with most NXT wrestlers, is like they get really popular in NXT to the point where WWE says, all right, let's put them on the main roster. And then they get to the main roster and they ruin them. And it's happened so many times.
Aleister Black, anyone?
Aleister Black, like, and I'll even say Shinsuke Nakamura kind of,
yep,
got ruined.
I would
ruined.
Agree.
And like, you could, you guys can agree or disagree with that, but like, man,
well,
NXT's honest- like this diamond in the rough that I'm glad that it's like its own kind of its own thing now, but like the minute they promote someone to the main roster, it's like they don't know what to do with them.
Okay, now honestly, I do want to make a point to that with the NXT has kind of ruined the main roster by saying, and because they've shown us, they give us everything when they give us these characters, everything. They throw everything at the wall. This works, and then they do what WWE does. Honestly, if we wouldn't have seen them in NXT and they would have had a slow build, we would have been okay with them. And I think they could have built more, but NXT gave you so much that that's why it's harder for the guys that are into NXT to get into the main roster anymore, I think.
Yeah, they've separated out the products to, you know, NXT is going to be that action-based, wrestling-based product with a little bit
five
of star
matches,
story, a little
time,
bit of sprinkle.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the time, right? And then when you get to WWE with the main roster, with the main content, with USA Network, with Fox, you know, and the product that they're trying to put off, it's all, you know, storyline based and very little, or I should say less involved on the what's happening in the ring with the payoff. Yeah. And I'm kind of glad that they've separated it out. But the thing is, it's not like NXT is necessarily a breeding ground for WWE Raw or SmackDown anymore. It's its own entity, and
yeah,
it needs to
be
built as its own entity and stay that way. And with Walter and Tommaso, I will just say I've probably watched that match once a day since it happened.
It is that good of a match, Chris.
It is that good. I'm not done with it yet. Just the intensity, the stiffness, the emotion, and the fact that we know it's a foregone conclusion because Walter can't lose the NXT UK title on American soil to an American who's not going to end up going over to NXT. So,
and I wouldn't have wanted that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't think anybody would have wanted that. It's almost a foregone conclusion. I say almost because when you're watching this match, it's very believable that it can go either way at any time. And my God, with these guys. I apologize. Let me talk about just how good and how they let them just work each other, and just you could see how Walter was beat up, and that doesn't happen very often. After the match, you could see the welts all over his body. Mm-hmm. Yes, please, Chris, go back and watch this match. And Dub, however many times you watched it, watch it again.
Yeah,
because this one was great. Yeah,
yeah. No, this Anybody that knows wrestling will call this match of the year, I think. If you don't know wrestling, you might not be into it, though, to be fair, because it didn't have that buildup. And it had some buildup, but unless you're, like, into the product, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
It didn't give you that 2-minute sound bite that they do before the matches that help. Okay, next up we have the
WWE.
Yeah. Next up we have the tag team championships, MSK versus Legado de Fantasma and the Grizzled Young Veterans. And I love all three of these teams. This is the future of tag team wrestling. You knew that Fantasma was not going to win it going into it just because they don't have the. I think they already had the belts before, and it's done. You knew it was going to be either Grizzled Young Veterans or MSK going in. And the reaction that MSK gave us when they won brought tears to my eyes. It was emotional. These guys are insane. This is, I love spot monkey type matches, and that's what this was. These guys are insane. I like watching the guys that will jump off the cage, do three back flips into a cannonball or some weird variation there. This is what these guys are, but they're safe. They went through the impact, and I haven't heard of them hurting anybody, which is with spot monkeys, that's what you want. Like, do awesome things and don't hurt anybody. So I thought this was a fantastic match. Again, Chris, if you didn't catch this one, this is another one you need to catch.
So my thing about tag team wrestling in WWE as of late, and you guys please correct me if I'm talking out my butt when I say this.
Probably.
Like, there has been a lack of decent there's been a lack of really good tag teams, and the good tag teams that they've had have now jumped ship and gone elsewhere. Because you had teams like FTR who were underutilized
on
the main roster, but were awesome on NXT. You could say the same thing with the Ascension, more or less.
Well, and they kind of blew it from the beginning on them, but yeah.
Yeah. Who are those two big guys that were with Seth Rollins for a hot second?
Falcon.
Authors of Pain.
Authors of Pain. I don't understand what happened to them. Who they still have left that we saw on Raw for the first time in a long time was Viking Raiders. I'm glad they're back. I'm hoping that they can figure out how to use them correctly, because they were beasts in the indies and they were beasts in NXT. Yeah. And they started
beasts. So both of you know, most of my notes are on WrestleMania. I have barely any NXT notes.
we're about to get through at least night one.
Okay.
So quick thoughts. Any quick thoughts on this tag team match, Mike?
Yeah. All six of them can't do any wrong individually or together. And tag team wrestling in NXT is always something that is a highlight and you want to watch while they're in NXT and facing each other. Most of, I'd say 9 out of 10 teams just will give you gold. And as far as the main roster goes, New Day and the Usos in the past couple of years have been the only ones, and they've kind of beat that to death, you know, but they'll always give you something good, you know, whatever that is. But I think if the main roster, Vince, tag teams, I don't know, he's got his focus elsewhere. It was hard enough to get his focus on the women's wrestling. But, you know, these three. Great match. MSK winning. Okay with it. They just won the Dusty Cup for the tag teams. And Grizzled Young Veterans are always going to give you something. And they're going to get their shot to shine as well as far as being the champions. But great match. Great match.
Okay. And final match of night one, Io Shirai versus Raquel Gonzalez. Another one I wasn't real excited about because I kind of felt like Io's time is done. I love Io Shirai. I think she is another just insane spot monkey. When she jumped off the skull on the entryway, I was like, no. that was like, yeah, my little geek heart just jumped up and down. I want them to figure out how to use Japanese wrestlers on the main roster, because let's be honest, that's where she's going next. There's nothing left for her to do in NXT, I don't think. But they gave the strap to Raquel Gonzalez, and good match, good wrestler. I get it, but I wasn't super excited about this one. Mike, what about you, bud?
I mean, it seems like it was is piped up different ways. Io kind of got to the point where Asuka got to the point where she just won all the time, and I needed to see something different. But I'm not sure. I think Raquel, you know, she just made a comeback. It was great. I think the match was good. I think after the three matches that preceded it, it was they were hard acts to follow.
Exactly.
and the spot that you're talking about, jumping off the skull, you know, 15 feet, which was great. It was a great spot. And then shock value of Raquel winning kind of left the spotlight on Raquel, but not exactly with Io. Undefeated Io, you know, has the title for so long, Io. But she was undefeated too. And now just the same thing that happened with Asuka when she got defeated on the NXT roster. I think Io is going to come up soon.
Yeah.
But I think hopefully they use her productively. Decent match, nothing wrong with it. But God bless the both of them for working at the end of a superstar 2-hour card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If honestly, nothing bad to say about it. But go ahead, Chris.
You'll be happy to know I have some more thoughts on night two. I will have some commentary about.
We're
some
jumping on there right now. So night two, we started out with. Sanzo Escobar versus Jordan Devlin ladder match. I loved every minute of it until the interference. And then I'm like, wow, well, he looks weak. And then I really didn't like that bump that Devlin took because it looked like it killed him. And I don't think that did not hurt him. I have issue when you know somebody gets hurt. There's no way he landed on his neck on the ladder. It was horrific. Good on him for taking it, but I don't think that was an on-purpose bump at all.
I hate spots like that, especially when they're not done right, says the guy who's never been in a wrestling ring before. But, like, you can tell when something goes wrong.
Well, when the neck goes 90 degrees to the body, I didn't know if he died at that moment. It was ugly. Yeah. I think that was a botch. No. I could be wrong, but it looked like a botch to me. But until they had the interference, great match. But I think the interference made Escobar look bad. And you didn't – there was no heel or face setup for this because they're both heels. And I'm okay with heel versus heel matches, but it didn't need that because it just made him look weak. You can have the heel cheat without the interference. Mike, what do you think about this one?
I'm okay with the story. I love the fact that Devlin's been overseas for so long and he got to come back to actually do this. I love the fact of Escobar holding the title for so long. And then they're putting the two titles up there, just like Shawn and Razor, WrestleMania 10 and you know, sort of a combination match. Love the story. As far as the ladder match itself goes, it was a very decent match. I will say having a one-on-one ladder match is very challenging now. After the bar that Razor and Shawn set a long time ago, ladder matches have evolved into tag team ladder matches and then Money in the Bank ladder matches and then 10-person ladder matches. And it's very hard to go from all of that down to a one-on-one ladder match. I'm not saying, they both worked hard. They both took a lot of unnecessary chances, more Devlin than anybody else. But I love Santos Escobar. I think he is, and you know, with Legado del Fantasma, I like the group setting, but him on his own is fantastic. Running ladder match, no disqualification. It could be what it could be, but I mean, that's the reasoning behind it, obviously. But I love the story going into it, but I just say it's very hard to do a one-on-one ladder match with anybody these days, but they let off the show. They did a good job, and hopefully Devlin's not too hurt.
Sometimes I feel like run-ins, especially when you have these ridiculous matches, kind of take away from the work that the wrestlers in the ring were doing. Because unless if it has a specific storyline plot, it's like, why? Why? Yeah. This was unnecessary, and I have similar thoughts about a particular match for the WrestleMania card that echoes.
I know which
sentiments.
One. Yeah. Okay, let's jump on to the women's tag team match. Now, I don't know what my problem is. I love Shotzi. I love Ember Moon. I love Candace. She's like my favorite wrestler in the world, male or female. She's brilliant. I didn't care for this match. I was bored, and they did everything right. I want to know why. What is wrong with me that I'm not enjoying this match? Okay, Mike, go ahead.
It's
brilliant
hard...
workers. Brilliant workers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they all had entrances. They all had, you know, pomp and circumstance, and they all did a good job. They did what they were supposed to do, and TCB retained. Good for them. Women's tag team titles in NXT, you know, great. But unfortunately, unfortunately, again, after a high spot match and then something that really just takes the wind out of you when you see Devlin almost impaled, basically it's hard, again, hard to follow. And something's got to follow that. You always have the first match that just kicks off everything. And then the second match is supposed to kind of bring you back down to earth so that you can take a roller coaster ride on that card. So nothing wrong with you. It's just the momentum. It's hard to keep that going, just, and especially after night one, you know, you're still blown up from night one. So you got to go all the way through night two. And then the expectations are so high for the rest of the card. Nothing wrong with you. Nothing wrong with the workers. Just, I think it was just the spot on the card.
Fair enough.
Not having seen the match, I'm going to agree with everything he just said.
Okay, let's go up to the next match, which is Johnny Gargano versus Bronson Reed for the North American title. Johnny Wrestling can make anyone look good. He could wrestle a dummy, and that dummy would come off with more heat than anything you've ever seen in your life. He's the AJ Styles of NXT. He can do no wrong. He is just perfect. And I'm not a fan of Bronson Reed. I think he looks like a beast, but I don't think he is a beast. He made him look like one. I'll tell you that much. He won the match and made Bronson Reed look stronger than he's looked.
Johnny effing Gargano.
Jeez, that guy's awesome.
He needs to stay in NXT because the minute they call up to Raw or SmackDown, bye bye Johnny Gargano. Like, man,
he'll be plucky for 2 weeks.
Like you said, Johnny Gargano makes anyone look good. Like, I remember the whole feud he and Tommaso Ciampa had after they broke up DIY, and that was probably the best story WWE wrestling has had in a very long time. So, you know, much to say about this match. Oh my God, Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah.
So good.
What about you, Mike? What's your thoughts?
I got to agree with you. Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Takeover, Johnny World, Johnny, the way. First of all, you mentioned Dub, you said Candice LeRae, definitely love her too. Anybody in the way, even Indy Hartwell, it just, and the story that was being told with, you know, Dexter Lumis and name escapes me.
I'm brain farting on it too. I'm trying to remember.
But we know who we're talking
Aries,
about. Yeah. Austin Theory.
Austin Theory, that's it. Aries.
He's had so many different names through the indies. I can't. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Can do no wrong. And Bronson Reed, as I said, it was a strange choice to win the match on night one. But again, Johnny could have made a match with any of those guys. And it actually gave more credibility to Bronson Reed by himself taking that match with Gargano, even though Bronson Reed lost. It's okay because he is now stronger for having faced Gargano in a match of that quality. And Johnny, just everything that Johnny does is gold. And
he's a star.
I hope. Oh yeah. I mean, there's people that you get in the ring with that no matter win or lose, they'll make you a star. Shawn Michaels, all the way through his career, couldn't have a bad match with anybody. Even when he had a broken back against Stone Cold Steve Austin in WrestleMania 14, you know, he still made it look like it wasn't the best match of his career, but he still made Austin look strong, and he still had a good match. So Johnny Gargano was going to be that way. He was all the way through every promotion he's been with so far, and he's doing that with NXT. I don't want him to go anywhere because he is one of the hearts of NXT. Great match.
Nice. Okay, next up we have one of the two what I consider main events. We had which one was that? Karrion Kross versus Finn Bálor for the belt. Interesting choice not putting this last. Karrion Kross, I like, but I don't love. I think that what's her name with him?
Scarlett
makes him look a whole lot better than he is. Sort of like when Sable was with anybody, she made that character look better. That's who she is. And I think she will be the biggest star that we hear out of this. Finn Balor is one of my favorites. And I was so excited. I hear the music. I see the flashing. I thought the demon was coming out and I lost it. And then And then you didn't see him, and I was disappointed, and that was kind of a hard thing to go into the match with.
I feel so bad for Finn Balor. I really do, because he won the Universal title in 2016.
For 10 minutes.
Ever since, yep. And his 10 minutes of champ, he's never been the same.
No.
Since that. And, like, he's a fantastic wrestler, and I don't know what it is. But, you know, he worked his butt off again. This was a match I was excited for because, you know, I'm a Finn Balor fan and I know what he's capable of, especially with the whole demon persona, which was one of the coolest things WWE had. And they ruined it. But yeah. I'm not gonna get on that train. But like, man, I didn't really like the match. I'm sorry. I feel like Karrion. It's like I barely knew who this Karrion. It's like, who's this Karrion? He just looks like a big meathead who's, you know, the face of NXT now. So, you know, I hope it goes well for him, but I just feel bad for Finn Balor. He's had a rough couple of years.
Now before I let you loose on this, Mike, because I know you're going to tear it all apart, but I wanted to say real quick that Finn is incredible, but Finn is a guy, Gargano can have a great match with anybody. Finn needs top tier talent to make him look top tier. And I love Finn Balor. He needs that top tier talent to make him look the way he should look. Yeah. He doesn't elevate like a Gargano. And that's okay. That's not there's like 1% of the population of wrestling history that can do that. He's not one of them. Mike, go ahead on this match.
I was more excited for the match, I think, beforehand, just because I've been involved in the indies, follow the indies, Killer Cross, Karrion Cross and Scarlett, as a matter of fact, both of them together, because they are actually together. That is real life. So I'm like, okay, this has potential, but I love the demon as well, like Chris said, and it had perfect potential for the demon to come out. But I think Finn Balor is kind of in between characters right now. He's kind of lost.
Yeah.
And I think Chris said it's been a weird couple of years for him, and he's gone down with an injury here and personal issues there. But he is a fantastic in-ring worker, and he's fantastic on the mic. The match itself could have been what it was. I believe, you know, the title match being last is one of the traditions. However, with what we're going to talk about next, there's a lot of reasons why that had to go last with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. But, you know, match was what it was. I was pretty sure Karrion was going to come back out and win the title again for the second time, because he had to do the same thing. He won the NXT title and he had to give it up because he got injured during the match. And then he came back, and unfortunately, the entrance that they both have, which is a wonderful entrance, Karrion and Scarlett. Once you get past that entrance, Karrion is kind of a neutral in-ring performer. It depends on the performer that you need to work with. Yeah, it's nothing against him. Yeah, nothing against him. It's just that's who he is. And it's hard to take that, because from the entrance and from the build, you would think that Karrion Kross is absolutely indestructible, going to no sell everything and destroy everybody. But he sells a lot, which is great. You got to sell in pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. He looks humanized. And just like Finn Balor, when he is the demon, he is more than human. In this match, it was human versus human, not demon versus killer. And it was hard. Now, maybe they will continue the feud, and maybe we will get that sign that we will get demon versus killer eventually on another takeover, because there's more potential there. I just don't think they reached it in that match.
Very good. Okay, now we're going to cut this off and we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come right back. So watch the next episode when we talk about WrestleMania, because this was going a lot longer than I thought it was going to. So
sorry, brother.
No, it's all good. Real quick, check out the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast with Mike. He's, as you can hear from the show, you need to go listen to his show.
Appreciate it.
I'm Dub. I'm here with Chris. I'm here with Mike. And we'll catch you next time. Keep on geeking on, guys.
You have been listening to the latest episode of the iHeart Geek Show. make sure you visit our website at www.iheartgeekshow.com. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you check us out on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And keep on geeking on to all of you geek rock stars.